Cool. So, all right, let's get right into it. Thank you guys for stopping by. This is the very, very, very first episode of the Nagi Project. Now, if you're not aware of what the Nagi Project is, let me be the very first to explain that the Nagi Project is the idea of creating an environment to where the hard topics that need to be discussed are easier to discuss. Welcome. Very first and foremost, I hope everybody is I hope everybody's doing okay. I hope everybody's taking care of themselves. I hope everybody is preparing for a very lengthy conversation. Of course, there are many people that can interject, and I am very aware that this is in fact the first episode. So today we're just going to be a bit more lenient than I would like to be and what I will be in future episodes. The topic of today is, of course, masculinity. Masculinity, ego, and the combinations and connections that result into toxic characteristics. By lenient, I mean that today is going to be a little less structured and a little bit more free-flowing. Mainly because of the fact that, again, this is the first episode, and I don't want anybody to be pressured and having a response. I'm very aware that I, being the only one who can be heard currently, there is a particular amount of dialogue that will eventually need to be had, which is why, among future episodes, I will be inviting people onto the show. But firstly, I wanted to set the tone and set the vibe and the energy of what the Nagi Project is to be presented as, which is exactly why we're doing it the way that we're doing it. So, with that being said, and without further ado, welcome to the very, very, very first episode of the Nagi Project. Round of applause, please, please, please. Amaze. I don't have any of your amazing sounds on your soundboard, so it's just gonna have to be a little bit of imagination there. So let's just get right into it. First and foremost, I'm going to introduce myself. I am Clifton Nagi King, streaming here on the Twitch platform, as well as a content creator and community manager of G1 Official, the amazing esports organization, which is also packed with fantastic creators and players alike. Nice to meet you. My content is heavily focused across the boards of anime, comic books, and gaming, and their direct connection to our perception of the world, our mental, and our emotional aspects as people. So let's just get right into it. I was getting myself very prepared for today's topic, because there is a lot of speculation. There are a lot of things that are not entirely understood when people talk about masculinity. And I will humbly express that, to be, again, holistically honest, men are frail. We are very fragile. We are not fragile because of any other nature outside of the fact that everything that has to do with the male characteristics is built, designed, and emphasized off of egotistical traits. I'm going to dive deep into every statement that I make with evidence supporting my statement. I'm very much aware that I am not a psychiatrist. I am not a therapist. I do not holistically know, like the back of my hand, how the brain operates. But one thing that I do know and that I'm very keen towards is perception and how the natural body reacts to said perception. So let's go based off what I just said. Men are frail because everything that we do is based off of ego, right? You're taught to be a man. You're taught to stay strong. You're taught to provide. You're taught to be successful. You're taught to carry the world on your shoulders. And the likelihood that comes from that, the downfall that comes from that, I should say, is not everybody is built the same. In the process of me getting ready for this episode, I took a very long time thinking deeply into myself, and my energies consistently kept reminding me of the image of a cup. I kept thinking about cups. I didn't know why I kept thinking about cups. I don't know if it was the music I was listening to or the bars that were being said in the rap or whatever the case may be, but I kept thinking about cups. So I wanted to give you guys a visualization, and I want to use myself as a reference when talking about these things, right? I spent my entire life chasing success. I'm 28 years old. I'm not the oldest person in the world. I barely lived my life under any circumstances. And I spent my entire life chasing success. I didn't have a childhood because I spent my entire life working. I spent my entire 18, 20s, early 20s working. I'm about to be 28 years old. My 20s are damn near over. And I spent all of it chasing success, sacrificing my 20s for the sake of just being successful. And that's something that you gotta kind of think about, right? And the aspect that when a man suffers a traumatizing experience, his first natural reaction is to get money, chase the bag, right? I grew up in the Bronx, born in Brooklyn. I'm a New York City kid. Every person I know that has been through something are high functioning people with severe emotional traumas and issues. And that correlates deeply with the idea that the way that men, specifically black men, handle traumas is by getting money, being successful, chasing the bag, getting whatever, right? And that's also something that I want to make very clear, because on the Nagi Project, I try to make it a thing to where I don't identify the differences in color and the differences in gender, but not identifying those things particularly diminishes the value of each said thing. If I consistently refer to myself as just simply a human being, I am ignoring the fact that I am black, and I am not acknowledging that I am proud of being black. That is not removing, right, the equality or the value of a person who is not the same color as myself. I am simply identifying my color and praising my color in that same sense. But moving forward, based off of the conversation that we're having, I spent my entire childhood, right, focusing on being successful, focusing on getting money, focusing on just providing some sort of financial structure under my belt. I just wanted to be successful. I wanted to be efficient. I wanted to be able to put food on the table, bring home the bacon, right? But the moment that I wasn't bringing home the bacon, I hated myself. And I took that out on everybody else. I took that out on every single individual, which you then start to think about, because I'm not the only person that does this, right? I'm not the only person that's having these types of conversations or having these discussions. I'm not the only person that feels the way that I feel, right? I spent years of my life burying myself into the focus of my career and my passions and being successful, having money in my bank account, having money in my whatever, just having money. And I ended up neglecting my loved ones. I ended up neglecting my lover. I ended up making horrible mistakes in terms of character, in terms of who I was, in terms of all of the things that I was ultimately confused about, making the very horrible, worst decision possible, right? Because I wasn't satisfied. And I wasn't satisfied not because things were not there or not because things weren't certain. I wasn't satisfied because, and this is going to blow a lot of people's heads off, I wasn't satisfied not because those things didn't exist, but because I didn't apply value to those things. Talk to him, Nagi. I didn't apply value to the little things because all that mattered to me was the things that I perceived to be a part of the bigger picture. Here's the problem with that. If all you're focusing on is the bigger picture, then you severely have tunnel vision that optimally removes the entire surroundings that you're actually engulfed in. So all of the people who are literally creating an opportunity for you to build what it is that you're trying to build and lift you up, you are now no longer bringing them with you. You are now steamrolling over them, which is a direct connection to toxic characteristics, right? The idea of you chasing your dreams. What do people tell you when you chase your dreams? Oh, they're sacrifices, right? Oh, you gotta sacrifice. You gotta work hard. You gotta commit to sacrifices, and don't let anybody get in the way of them. Don't let anybody get in the way of your dreams, right? Why is it that we are so comfortable with connecting, chasing your dreams with such horrible requirements? Why does chasing your dreams have to be connected to juggernauting the entire situation? You know what I'm saying? Like, the connections between masculinity and ego and how they commit to toxic traits and toxic characteristics is deeply rooted into past traumas and past experiences that result in men consistently trying to find an alternative that will ultimately nullify the pain that they have endured by thinking that that situation is actually going to solve the problem. Being rich is not going to take that pain away. And what sucks is that no matter how successful you become, the more money that comes your way, the more frustrated you are becoming because you're realizing that it's still not making you happy, which is getting you more upset because you are then achieving what you've been trying to achieve. And now it's still not making you happy. So now you're more annoyed, more irritated, more aggravated, more rubbed incorrectly. And then you start taking it out more and more on the people around you to where you become a self-sacrificing, walking time bomb. You're just waiting to self-destruct. So it's really a situation to where when you sit there and you have these types of conversations and you have these types of discussions, one of the main things that I wanted this podcast and this conversation to be is not to change your perception, but to give you a different one. Not to change how your mind is working, but to give you a different optimal look at what someone else is experiencing. Coming from someone such as myself, who, again, I've been homeless 3 times, all of which was caused by my family. My family literally kicked me out with nowhere to go before I even knew how to be a man. I definitely was sexually molested as a kid, right? I was trampled on, abandoned, that resulted in fear of disconnection to the point to where I've never actually broken up with someone that I've dated. All of my relationships are long term, and I've never broken up with anyone. I've always been broken up with, right? And I have always immediately resulted in wanting to not have that happen. I would always consider taking the person back, right? why would you do that? There was one situation to where there was a woman who cheated on me. I dated a woman who cheated on me. Long story. I'm not going to get into it. Dated a woman who cheated on me. And then the day that I found out, I still said to her, I'll still take you back. Why though? Right? Why would someone be willing to reconnect in that area, in that field, without any type of healing? Fear of abandonment. Why is that necessary to the topic? The toxic characteristic that I portrayed through fear of abandonment was consistently taking all of the hardships that other people have placed on me just because I did not want to be by myself. What does that do, right? What does that create? What does that cause? That creates a consistent cycle where my self-value as a man, as a human being, is diminished and devalued consistently over and over and over again, to the point to where I no longer see myself as valuable to anyone, even to people who are actually applying value to my existence. To the point to where if somebody comes to me and says, hey, Nagi, I think you're kind of cute, I don't believe it. It's not just a male characteristic. That's a characteristic. That's a human thing, right? It's to the point to where if somebody says, yo, Nagi, you're doing something great. You guys, you sit there, all of you, you support what we're doing here. You support the channel. You support everything going on. And you guys are super, like, just throwing hella love my way. I don't think I'm doing anything. I don't think I'm doing nothing. Right? And I've been sitting there and I've been trying to figure out all of these different ways and all of these different things that connect and why things are the way that they are. So let's dive a little deeper into why masculinity and ego is relevant in this entire scheme of things, and why men have an issue with their masculinity being challenged, and why men have an issue with their masculinity being challenged when there is a conversation about a woman being in a similar place of power, or a similar place of workspace, or a similar place of existence, to where we feel like our scenario is completely removed. Our necessary actions, our necessary existence is completely removed, right? Let's dive into that. As a man, you are taught to be strong. You are taught to be dedicated, to persevere, to endure. That's what you are taught to do. You are not taught to show emotion. You are not taught to express emotion. You are not taught to learn communication, healthy communication. You are not taught to completely acknowledge that your self-worth, your self-property, your self-value has no, under any circumstances, no connection where the growth or decrease of that amount, of that situation, is implemented and decided by another party. What I mean by that is, how you feel about yourself is not decided by somebody else. How you see yourself is not decided by somebody else, or decided by what somebody else says, or decided by something that you're doing. If you sit there and you paint a picture and somebody else paints a picture, and somebody who you look up to or someone that you're trying to get attention from sees the other person's picture and likes their picture more, that doesn't under any circumstances mean that your picture sucks. It just means that that person's preference was the other picture. However, we perceive that as our value as human beings. Why is that a problem in men more than anything else? Because men has major control over major situations in the world. We are the deciding factor of a lot of things, and we have completely bruised egos, and that's a problem. Why is that a problem? Because the amount of self-pride that we have because we're men causes us to move outside of how we naturally feel. I'm not thinking logically because I'm thinking of how long my nuts are hanging. I want people to look at me as the big dog on campus. I want people to look at me as I'm about that action. You know what I'm saying? Like I want people to look at me like, you know what I mean? Like I'm out here. I'm hard working. You know what I'm saying? I got my body right. I got my this right. This is at a third and blase, blase, blah. But yet we're the ones that's acting out of sheer emotion. If you sit there and you tell a man, what's the first thing that happens, right? You'll sit there, even in the jokes, even in the rebuttals that happen, right? Conversations that go on, you sit there and you see a girl and a guy having an argument, and the girl is, you know, saying this is at a third, and the one thing that hurts the guy the most is, you got a little dick. We sit there, we hear these types of conversations, and we hear these jokes, and everyone just like laughs it off, right? Without acknowledging that statement and that there's truth behind jokes, right? That alone would crush a man. However, what did the man say to the woman? You're a slut, you're a bitch, you're this, you're that. They go above and beyond, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're a whore, you're da 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 da, blase, blase, blah, right? They go through that, and they sit there, and they say all of those things and all of those scenarios, and it becomes a repetitive situation, right? When all the woman says is, you got a little dick, or you ain't got no money. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that type of situation is definitely connecting to everything that we deal with. And it really becomes a situation that I really want people to kind of dive into the notion of why we're doing the things that we're doing. As men, what is it that you are doing? Why are you doing it? And are you doing it because it's your ego? Are you really pushing as hard as you're pushing in your career because you're passionate about it, or because you want somebody to pat you on the back? Let's talk about it. Like, are you trying to be a rapper because you want the acknowledgement, or are you heavily passionate about the music? Are you trying to be a streamer because you want the praise? You want people to hop in chat and just want to get an autograph from you? Or do you severely love how dope having random interactions are with random people who share the same mindset as you or the same interests? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we talking about here? So when it comes down to men and their masculinity, and now I'm starting to get on a roll, right? Because my energies was, at the beginning of this, was very calm. But now I'm starting to get the fire up in my stomach. When it comes down to the aspects of men, and I'm not even going to look at chat. My situation and what I want for people to acknowledge, men, the men specifically, and I'm going to keep it a buck with y'all, myself included, I sacrificed everything that I wanted and that I deemed necessary to sacrifice because I wanted the glory. I sacrificed everything that I wanted to sacrifice because everything that I endured, I simply wanted to prove to all of the people who shat on me as a kid that I was about something, that I was worth something, that I was necessarily supposed to be something. I wanted to prove to people that you threw away a gem, that you walked over a god. I wanted to be respected because I was never respected. Here's the problem. I wanted to get respect in the career path that I chose, not acknowledging that I was getting the respect and appreciation that I wanted from the people who were next to me, from the people who were with me. I have a photo in front of me right now of three of my friends. My friend Oktai, my friend George, and Bobby. Bobby is Boma. Boma and I are no longer together. Why are Boma and I no longer together? Because I did not meet the standards of what I had portrayed at the beginning of our relationship. My fault. at first I was super terrified about how to express that. At first I was like super scared about how to be real about it, how to be respectful to her privacy and my privacy. But at the end of the day, I am definitely doing that because I respect her, right? But how can I sit there and talk this talk and have a discussion about masculinity and toxic characteristics and not use myself as a reference? Because people be out here speaking on these topics, talking about how men are doing this and men should be doing better. Women are talking about how women are doing this and women could be more powerful and could be more motivational and could be more inspiring and so on and so forth. And the exact same thing that they're trying to preach to people, they're not practicing. I grew up in a religious faith, right? I grew up in a Christianic faith, and I'm not bashing any type of religion. I respect all religion, and I respect every single thing that everybody practices. I know many people who follow many different beliefs, and I respect, love, and appreciate all of them. But I also know that there are liars and fakes across the board when it comes down to the religious faith. The reasons why I'm saying that is because the idea of people not practicing what they preach is not as uncommon as you think. Why are you saying that, Nagi? Why are you saying that? Why are you having that discussion? Why are you talking about it like that, right? I cannot be a man and have a discussion and tell men about how they need to chill out on their toxic masculinity without expressing the fact that I am someone who has 100% received and expressed toxic masculinity. I expressed excessive anger. I expressed self-hatred. I placed my hatred, my beliefs, and my problems on other people and watched as they broke them down. I resulted in giving the natural responses to all of my family members. All of them. All of my family members had received and dealt with horrible situations because of my lack of control, because of what I personally felt was necessary in my life, and it wasn't. Why were these things not necessary, Nagi? What it is that you did? What did you do? I 100% let my anger, my frustration, my self-hatred, my lack of self-love control every single aspect of my life. And that caused me to take it out on all of my loved ones because all I wanted to do was be successful. The men that you are, we as men have to change our narrative and how we are identifying what it is that we want to do and who it is that we want to be. Because being a man, it's not ignoring your emotions, because you are not going to be able to provide anything that holds weight. You sit there and you come, I'm from a generation that comes from messed up fathers, right? But I'm a weird one because I come from a household that had his dad but didn't have his mom. But I still dealt with the aspects of having a messed up father while not having a mom. So it's like I'm a weird hybrid in that sense, right? But I come from a generation where there ultimately is no, there is no guidance. My generation had no guidance. We had no leaders. We had no representations of respectable role models. It was either a rapper or a ball player. That's really what we had. Right? We had to work with what we had at the same time. But every single aspect of all of the things that we had as role models never taught us to sit there and say, hey, young man, it's okay to cry. It's to the point now to when we see videos of elderly men teaching young men, young boys, teenagers, kids, that showing emotion is necessary. We look at that and we're like, these motherfuckers is soft. y'all soft, bro. What we talking about here? What we talking about? We can't even show emotion. Toxic masculinity. Masculinity and ego. Why do you have masculinity Why do you have ego? What makes you a man? All of these questions, all of these different conversations and statements. What makes you a man? Is it the food that you place on the table? Are you less of a man if you can't provide food? Are you less of a man if you can provide food but can't really have conversations with your family? How do you connect with your children? How do you learn who your children are without stunting who they can become? How do you apply those things without any ego? Is a good father an egotistical father? Is he proud to that point, to that extent, that he made really good kids? Is that stroking his ego at the same time? Where's the balance? Where's the common ground? And what does that have to do with toxicity? Men deal with traumas by getting rich. That's the reality of it. Men deal with traumas by getting rich. And they use that money, or they use that success, or they use that grind, or they use the result of the rewards, whatever it is that they reap the benefits from, they use that, and they use that to bury the traumas with. Like I said, this is the very first episode, so there's going to be a lot of different conversations that we're going to have. And one thing that I do want to express is that I'm very appreciative that you guys are here. And I know that it's a scenario where we don't really have a lot of people watching right now, so I don't think this is going to be a really long conversation. I don't think this is going to be a very long episode, but I definitely wanted to have a dialogue about it. Because it's really a situation to where, ironically, men are incapable of dealing with what they've dealt with, because we just have to persevere. We just have to endure. How do you fix that? How do you fix that, right? What do you do? What do you do, Nagi? What do you do, Nagi? You're talking about all of these issues. You're talking about all of these problems. You're revealing all of this truth around the idea of toxic masculinity. What do you do? Well, first and foremost, I'm absolutely not the person well-equipped to give you that type of information. However, what I do know is that in order for you to solve a problem, you have to acknowledge said problem. The main reasons why I wanted to have this discussion is because I lost the love of my life because of my bullshit. How many people, how much have we lost because of something as simple as not knowing how to cry, not knowing how to express frustration painfully, not knowing how to express your worries, your fears, not being able to fear, not being able to be soft or to be caring or to be vulnerable. I was having a conversation with another friend of mine, and while we were having this conversation and having this dialogue and having this discussion, one of the main things that I was speaking to him about and that he expressed to me is he said that he doesn't like the idea of feeling vulnerable. He doesn't like the idea of feeling like somebody can get one in on him. And I asked him if he remembers Roman culture. He was like, yeah, I know Roman culture. I'm like, okay, do you remember the gladiators and the warriors of that time, that era, the Roman Empire and whatnot? He's like, yeah, I remember that. Why are you asking me that? What's this about? And I say to him, when you look at combat between two warriors, you see a heavily guarded warrior, one wearing perfect armor, and you see a slightly guarded warrior with moderate armor. Which one would you go for? Who are you betting on? Most people would bet on the one with the armor, right? He has more defense, right? He has more defense. And then you see a couple of people bet on the one with less armor. Why would you bet on someone with less armor? You would bet on someone with less armor because if you're skilled with a sword, armor doesn't matter. If you're skilled with a sword and you have armor on, you're less likely to be able to maneuver. You're less likely to be able to maneuver in combat. If I have a ton of armor on, I can barely move. Especially back in those times. You look at movies like Troy. Achilles, right? Achilles didn't wear anything. His Achilles heel was his weakness, right? He got an arrow in the heel, he died, right? But what about all of the other people who wore no armor or wore limited armor? The point of the reference is, since when was having high defenses a form of strength? Since when was having low walls a form of weakness? What is strength? What is confidence? What is bravery? What is courage? Talk to him. How are you brave if you don't fear? How do you show courage if you're not scared first? How do you show strength if you're not weakened? What? What are we talking about here? The reasons why I'm saying this is because when it comes down to men, we're taught we have to operate up here. And we're not taught that this is a climb that's never ending. You're not taught that it's okay for you to deal with your emotions healthily. You're not taught that it's okay for you to express yourself healthily. You're not taught that it's okay for you to want to paint, that it's okay for you to want to dance, that it's okay for you to want to be a flowerist or to be interested in insects or bugs. But at the same time, you have a lot more opportunities to explore whatever you want to explore than every other gender on this planet. Whatever the other person decides to identify as. Men have the opportunities are limitless. Limitless. But yet we still have to be super linear, and then we're questioning why we're so angry, why we're so bothered, why we're so pissed. I was at my job earlier today, and I have a coworker who offered to drive me home. Everybody who knows me knows that I walk to work. She offered to drive me home, and I said, sure, why not? Her car shuts down. Her boyfriend calls, and she says, oh, I'm about to drive Nagi home. She says my real name, but I'm about to drive Nagi home. But the car broke down, so on and so forth, blah, 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 blah. They hang up. About 10, 15 minutes later, calls again. Guy says, hey, what's going on with the car? My coworker's like, oh, the car is still messed up, the standard third. He then says, who are you with? And she says, I'm with Nagi. I said, I told you I was gonna drive him home. He was like, I didn't hear that. And he gets pissed. Like, I called you to talk to you. I didn't call to talk to you and the other dude in your car, the standard third. Bind you. This person knows me. This person has met me before. I've interacted with this individual before. This is what I'm talking about with toxic masculinity, right? This is all coming full circle. Stay with me. This person is sitting there. He gets super pissed off about the fact that she's driving me home. Here's the problem. I'm 28. The girl that offered to drive me home, she's a kid. She's 19 years old. She's my barista. I'm her boss. She offered to drive me home because she knows that I walk from my job home. I didn't ask. She offered. I see this girl as a child. She's a child. Like, I've sent her on break so that she could do her homework. You know what I'm saying? Like, I watched this kid grow up, basically. She's like a sister to me. Right? Everybody knows this, because she's not the only one. People look at me like a big brother at that store. They call me, I can show you on my phone. They call me for countless reasons, just boyfriend advice, girlfriend advice, life advice, which I'm terrible at, but moving forward. This guy is so bothered that I'm in her car, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, I'm just gonna walk. Why is this necessary for this conversation? The toxic masculinity characteristics that this individual has is insecurity. If you do not want your woman having conversations or being around other men, you are insecure in your own right, in your own sense, that you feel like you are going to be disposed of, or cheated on, or whatever. And how do you deal with that? How do you handle that? Here's how. No one belongs to you. That's number one. That's how you handle that characteristic. Nobody belongs to you. No one. Women do it. Nobody belongs to you. Men do it. Nobody belongs to you. Non-binary. Nobody belongs to you. You do not belong to anyone. At all. Period. Point blank. So here you have this young adult, super intelligent, super outgoing, having her light shaded on and diminished because of an individual who has high insecurities. It's unfortunate. But how many men deal with that? How many men deal with the concept of their own insecurities to the point to where they stop other people from doing other things? It all coexists. It all coexists. All of it. If you have a conversation with yourself, and you simply discuss the deepest, darkest fears of your own individual self, your personal self, you will be able to emulate and understand why you do the things that you do. Where does it come from? I never broken up with someone who either could have been not good for me. I always consider taking people back. I always overanalyze, and so on and so forth. I make a sheer distinct effort to make sure that no one leaves my life, no matter how good they are for me or not, because I can't deal with the idea of being alone. Why is that a toxic trait? Because I'm willing to take anything from anyone just so that I don't end up alone. The problem with that is that the more that I take from people, the less valuable I see myself, and then I start to become angry because I don't feel like I'm worth anything to anyone. I don't have people in my phone telling me how amazing I am. I don't have people in my DMs telling me how attractive I am. I don't have people praising me for all of the countless amount of work that I've committed to, or the amount of people that I've praised. There are people on this platform that you guys know of, who you know of them because of my efforts, because of what I've done. Sharky, everyone knows how loud Sharky is. Everybody knows and loves Sharky, right? You guys have heard Sharky be in my streams countless times. Sharky grew an entire following. Why? Because I was the one that told him to do a commenter. My idea for Sharky is what blew Sharky up. It's not me being egotistical. That's me literally saying that even Sharky does not praise me. Because I don't let him. You shouldn't praise me. I'm not somebody to put on a pedestal. My point is that I don't let people walk away from me, and I don't remove people because I'm willing to accept everybody else's bullshit because I don't personally want to be alone. And I have strong fears of being alone. And that diminishes my self-value, which removes the opportunity of self-love. Because I'm willing to take any and everything from everyone simply because of the fact that I don't want to be alone. That means that every single person that has ever truly shown me that they cared about me, I, one, did not believe, and two, I always considered myself invaluable and disposable by them, which resulted in me acting and portraying them as someone that wouldn't last, or someone that really didn't care about me holistically, which means that I treated them like shit. They were ultimately an enemy to me. See what I'm saying? And that's what we do. We experience something, and our natural response to it, and it's not just men, it's across the whole board, but men do it the most. They sit there and they experience a characteristic, they experience a traumatic experience, they experience a traumatic hit, and then they go and they get rich because their mentality in all of it is, if I'm rich, this will never happen again. Damn, my girl, you sit there and you, what? There was a whole interview, right? Will Smith, years ago, said, the reason why I became an actor is because I ultimately want, I was broken up by a girl and I wanted to make myself so big that I didn't want, I never got broken up with ever again. You pursued an entire career so that somebody didn't decide to break up with you. That's insane. That's insane. I always told myself that I didn't want to be on camera. My father was in productions. He loved off-Broadway stuff. He wanted to be a movie star. He wanted to be an actor, a singer. He was a triple threat. He liked dancing. He liked performing. I told myself that I would never be on camera. I would never pursue a career that put me on a pedestal like that. Look at me now. Why did I decide to do that? Why did I decide to be a part of that? Why did I decide to choose this as my goal? Right? Why am I successful at this? Why am I on camera right now? I didn't choose streaming because, in the beginning, I didn't choose streaming because streaming was passionate to me. I chose streaming because I wanted to be seen. I'm expressing my truth, and we're coming down to the close because it's looking like the Nagi Project is going to be about an hourly show. So it's coming down to a close. But I say all of these things to say this. I use myself as a reference to acknowledge and to expose all of the things that we deal with on a regular day-to-day basis, because one thing that I understand is that I understand most of people's traumatic experiences because I myself have experienced them. We have to do better. We have to be better. We have to try better. In the beginning, I chose streaming because I wanted to be seen because I was never seen. I was never utilized. I was never expressed. I was never cared about. I was never appreciated. I was never wanted. I was never desired. Ever. I was disposable by everybody. I didn't choose streaming because it made me happy. I chose streaming because people saw me. And it got me nothing. I sacrificed my loved ones and my love for this. I achieved partnership and I lost it because I was on a characteristic that was toxic. I lost everything because I didn't understand who to be. And not everybody's the same. Not everybody's perfect. Not everybody can do exactly what I do in the same way, and so on and so forth. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about similarities. I'm talking about open-mindedness, comfortability, being able to express yourself holistically to people who want to know. The goal is to not be heard by everybody. The goal is to be confident enough to put yourself into a position to be heard. If you're scared, do it anyway. Masculinity and ego are the fuel behind most toxic characteristics in men. Because masculinity and ego is all that we are taught subliminally. With that being said, it's been an honor. It's been a pleasure. This is the very first episode of the Nagi Project. I am 100% humbled and appreciative of everybody who will be listening to this, who will be featured in future episodes, who will like to have discussions about this. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal thing to be able to put this out. This is something that is going to be shared across all social media platforms. It is something that is going to be shared across all major podcast platforms. If you type in !TNP, you will absolutely be able to see all of the links that will support this episode. You will be able to listen to this on all of your mobile devices, I promise. With that being said, I appreciate you. And I thank you all for being a part of this. I thank you all for being a part of this first episode. Next week, we'll have another topic and a featured guest. With that being said, I appreciate you. I hope that this didn't affect anyone negatively, but I understand if it did. I want everybody to know that in order to overcome and in order to start healing, you have to reopen wounds. And we have a lot of wounds. One of the main things that I'm learning about myself is that looking at the hardships and paying attention to what caused what happened, paying attention to the things that we forgot and the things that we buried, and the things that we are still hurting about, they don't define us. I'm not a bad person. And neither are you. I love you guys. Please stay safe. Take care of yourself. Drink water. And I'll see you guys next time.